Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I sit down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to learn more about their work and the impact it has on the people of Bradford. This episode is a little different and a special one, as it was recorded live at our Thrive Leadership Conference. This year's event focused on the theme of belonging throughout the ages, past, present, and future, and celebrated the idea that there is a leader in everyone. In this episode, we will hear from Faye Alexander, Head of Education, and Saman Khan, Deputy Medical Director of Ops and Planned Care, about how we lead with belonging at the heart of everything we do, and how a sense of belonging helps us to build resilient and effective teams. Please welcome people who will be very familiar to you, I know, Dr. Saman Khan and Faye Alexander. So you both have spent quite a significant proportion of your time, your working careers here at Bradford. What does belonging mean to you in the context of long-term leadership within the same organisation? How you managed to navigate your way through that?
So for me, I have been in the Trust just over 5 years now. I actually joined on the first day of lockdown back in March 2020. Which was, it was a crazy time to start a new job. And I think that for everything that was going on, it was one sure way to meet so many people. I got to meet everybody in a real kind of short sort of turnaround. Got to engage with different people, doing lots of different projects. As soon as I joined that environment, I was just overwhelmed by how friendly everybody was, how much everybody sort of came together as a team. I was actually born at Bradford Royal Infirmary, so it's always somewhere I wanted to come back and work. For me, I think working somewhere for a period of time, you really get to know your colleagues. Mm-hmm. And there's something I find really comforting about being able to pick up the phone, ask questions, and get that support from colleagues. And for me, that is something that I really value here at the Trust, and I sort of really appreciate that in terms of, developing my leadership, but, just actually working somewhere and getting to know your colleagues and working together as a team, I find just so valuable. And that really sort of enhances my leadership, having that network of peers and people to go to. And Sam?
Blimey, I'm going to follow that. So my rugby career got cut short because I thought I could play football out of contract and get away with it for Leeds Union. And I didn't really attend medical school, I'll be honest, for the first 2 years. You could probably tell.
So tell it. I am a
qualified. But Mike.
Renee, we need to check that piece.
I'm checking now.
Which ends one off. No. So I knuckled down by the fourth and fifth year. I tore my ACL, lost my contract because I played out of contract. And I suddenly realised, why am I need to actually be a doctor? Because my focus was not to be a doctor, but to be a professional sportsman and see where that took me. It didn't happen. But I knuckled down and I had a 5th-year attachment at Bradford. And from that, I wanted to work at Bradford as a house officer, so pre-registration. And I not only loved it, so in the old days, you did like 6 months surgery, 6 months medicine, or the other way around. And this was now 2001. And because I've already been a 5th-year student there, the firm that I work for, my SHO, the one above me, is now a geriatrics consultant. She literally looked after me, but not just her, the registrar and the consultants that I work for. So they made me feel part of something, even though I was absolutely petrified. So that sense of feeling, and also the fact that the patients are really complicated and difficult, and you were often felt like you're on your own, but you weren't. That feeling continued me, so I stayed for my medical sort of SHO training for 3.5 years. And I didn't really want to leave. And I was very lucky because Sullivan Royer created a job for me to stay on for another year so I could carry on doing endoscopies because of my skill. And I cannot tell you how much of an impact that had, because when I had to leave and go around Yorkshire to apply for a registrar job, it was a bit of a wrench. And then I ended up in Leeds for my higher specialist training. And that was a very different experience. And going from being nurtured for every team that you work for and being part of that team, because it was the team led by the consultant. You know, I used to go to the consultants' houses, used to have dinners, barbecues, all that sort of stuff. It was different. Get to Leeds, and it was a little bit different. You have to have individual connections to create those bonds to then be looked after. Whereas in Bradford, that wasn't the way. Mm. So being in Leeds for a while, I ended up getting a consultant job in Leeds because one in Bradford didn't come up at the time when I completed my training.
So fast forward there.
Yeah.
As leaders, everybody's a leader in this room. We kind of take our own experiences and we use that to influence how we lead. So with all of that in mind, your own experiences, how do you lead? How do you kind of create that leadership culture that is able to facilitate belonging?
For me, it's about sort of showing up, being visible, trying to be my sort of most authentic self that I can be, and sort of trying to show the human side. Yes, I'm a leader of a department, but I'm still human. I make mistakes, and I'm the first person that will put their hands up if something goes wrong. And I think that's really important for your team to see that. And for me, you know, we'll do sort of timeouts, team building things. Not that everybody always likes those, but, you know, it's making that time outside of the day-to-day work to come together as a team and just get to know each other. And, you know, not just having those transactional work conversations, but actually finding out, you know, who are you? What makes you you? What are your values? We really try and sort of come together as a team to share that. And I'm sort of fully engaged with that. And I think that's the bit that I love hearing about, you know, people's lives outside of work. I find it so interesting.
I do. So, you know, one of the things I think is really important, and you can do it, so if you don't do it already, I'm sure you do. The last conversation or the last thing you say to somebody if you're speaking to them on a Friday is, so what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah.
What are your plans? What are you going to be doing? And then the first one on the Monday is, how was your weekend?
Yeah.
What did you do? What did you get up to? What do you see?
And I also love asking people what they're having for the tea.
Yeah.
I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, that's absolutely fun. What are you having for your tea? Oh, what's
that? I suppose being a team sports player for most of my childhood and early adult life, the thing you realise is that no one person is better or bigger than I was. Even though you might have a couple of people that have got more talent at that time, that talent waxes and wanes. And you need the team to carry that person when they're waning. And so for me, from a very young age, it's always been about working together. And he's a very famous coach now, but I was very lucky enough to have him when I was 17. He said, I think he's used everywhere now, but he said at the time, and he was a second team coach at Randwick in Sydney, and he said that a group is a collection of individuals. A team is people that are working together for the same goal. That's why teams are more successful than groups of people. I'm just sat there thinking, huh? They? Not appreciating it at the time. Fast forward, everything I've ever done is I'm not more important than you, but I need you, all of you together to work. So you've got to make it clear what your goal is so we can take everyone on that journey together with them. And then they can also realize that there's more to them that they realize that they didn't realize they had these abilities. So something that I've always been keen on is trying to allow people that sometimes don't have a voice to be able to have a voice to then grow from where they think they can get to further than that, if that makes sense. So it's about unlocking potential in people that they otherwise wouldn't have had. And I've had that every step of the way. It's not easy being like, you know, born down south, grew up in the Midlands, but it's not many Asian kids play rugby. Loads of them play cricket, but playing rugby to that level, there's a lot of sort of resilience required to get to it. But I didn't actively have it in my head that things were more harder for me. I just knew that people believed in me, so I could be better. And all I've done is do that in my I call it leadership, because I don't think I'm a leader. I've just been put in positions where I can influence things. And if I can influence things in the right way, then others join that movement essentially, and so that groundswell helps things get better. I haven't really answered your question, have I, Mel?
No, I think, yeah, but I'm interested. So, the final bit I think for this conversation is
how we as leaders evolve and change over time. So, you know, are you a different leader today than you were 2 years ago? And where do you want your leadership journey to take you, Faye? Are you a different leader?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I think leadership, it's sort of a continuous journey. You're always evolving. I had a baby 2 years ago, so I've got a toddler now, and that has definitely changed my leadership styles. Got better at negotiating. listening. just sort of learning how to balance things. And again, you know, that sort of impacted my leadership style of work, and just having, you know, those different life experiences that I think, you know, as you sort of grow and develop in your career. But yeah, I feel my leadership style is always evolving, hopefully always for the better as well. But yeah, having a baby definitely helped.
Sam?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because like you're talking about the birth of someone changing the way you sort of lead. The death of my father changed the way I did stuff. And I had two senior colleagues that were really supportive of me that made me realise that actually, because I was getting to the point where I was thinking, the NHS is quite a negative place to work. Now, everything's transactional, to coin a phrase that faces you. Everything's transactional. And what we don't stop to do is things like this. That stuff upstairs is really humbling, to listen to those people and their stories that work in this organisation. And we don't know that. But I've been lucky enough to have Ray and Saj sat in the room, that when I went through quite a difficult time, that made me realise that the NHS actually, with the right people, while modelling the right behaviours, is the best place to work when you have difficult times. Because if you don't have that kind of support, you can't make things better for the wider population. And that's made me realise that I used to be very judgmental. And if someone did something to me, that was it, they were dead to me. Whereas I think over the last 5 years, I've started to realise that actually, and I think Fraser said it, human beings are really complex. And if you don't have an appreciation of what's going on in their wider life, not just their work life, you are not going to get the best out of those people. But you need that sometimes to be role model taking, to allow you to grow as a leader that person has demonstrated to you. So I think over the last almost 18 months, as my dad passed, I've become a lot more understanding of things, and I've moved from being judgmental to being actually what is going on, if they're open to opening up themselves. So some people say I've become softer, but I think I've become more mature in understanding that things are not always straightforward. But at the end, you know, but for me, it's always about empowering people to get to where they need to get to. And sometimes you don't know that. And that's what I learned from Ray and Saj, when they were so supportive of me in a really difficult time. So thank you.
That's quite inspirational, isn't it? And thank you for sharing.
So,
and we really appreciate you. We really value you. You are part of us making our boat go faster. Just to go back to Helen. Thanks.